Tuesday mornings, we go live to the nation's capital and Pulitzer Prize winning reporter David Farenthold coming to us live and direct from the Washington Post. You've been watching the hearings at all this morning?
I have to say I have not. I followed them a little bit from our coverage, but I have not been watching. I don't find watching.
Then I won't ask you what you think.
Yeah,
the consensus in our newsroom is okay. The consensus in our newsroom is that Judge Barrett is holding her own and is not coming across as some kind of fundamentalist monster. So it seems it seems like it's going to be smooth sailing. To your latest piece on how much money the Trump family is making off the Secret Service, is it your feeling that this is enough? I mean, it's over $1 million apparently, just from the accommodations at his hotels when his kids visit these various places. Is it your feeling that this influences the president in some way?
Well, you know, there are ways in which people may try to use the president's business to influence him. But this is different. This is the president and his family using basically the presidency to enrich themselves. So there's no influence buying here. It's their influence over the government that brings money to their own property. So the story we have today is about Trump's kids. We knew Trump did that, but we didn't really know how much his kids had done it. His adult children, basically, they go to Trump properties. They force the Secret Service to follow them because they have to follow them everywhere. And then they charge the Secret Service to be there. So they create a need for hotels that only their company can fill. And they've gotten at least $238,000 of taxpayer money transferred to the Trump Organization just by going to these properties and making the Secret Service come along.
I don't know if it's allowed for me to ask you about a competitor's story, but the New York Times just did a piece on the network of influencers that have been booking events like crazy at Trump's various facilities. And as somebody who's followed his finances for a long time, what do you think that story tells us?
Well, it was a great story. They got a lot of great details. I think that it shows that there's a lot of people who think there's an advantage to be gained by paying money to Trump's properties. People who want, you know, any number of things, from a train from LA to Las Vegas to approvals of different projects to, you know, they want their lobbying clients to succeed. And those people have held events at Trump's hotels and paid for membership fees at Mar-a-Lago. One of the things about that story that I found a little frustrating was that sometimes they didn't really connect that paying of Trump's company to a successful policy outcome, or to say that a policy outcome that happened that wouldn't have happened otherwise. To me, one of the cleanest cases of this is something that we wrote about last year, which was involves a Seattle company, T-Mobile. They signed an agreement to have a merger with Sprint, a huge merger that needs government approval and hadn't gotten approval under the Obama era. The day after they announced that merger, a whole bunch of T-Mobile executives show up at the Trump Hotel in D.C. for long stays, and they come back again and again and again. The CEO of T-Mobile even walks around the Trump Hotel lobby in magenta T-Mobile gear like a human billboard. Now, they got the approval they wanted. You can't say for sure that one led to the other, but it seemed like they thought they could gain an advantage by being visible customers of the Trump property.
Now, Trump supporters will look at this and say, you guys are just piling on Trump. The point of the New York Times story was, here's the new swamp, same as the old swamp. You know, here's a guy who came in and said, I'm going to drain the swamp. All he did was substitute a different one. Is that indeed what's happening?
I think that's right. And when people talk about the swamp before, I think they thought of, you know, what was being exchanged in return for political favors was campaign donations. And this Trump did change that in that he made it, you know, and now people are paying, in addition to campaign contributions, because he's still getting those, they're also paying his businesses so he can get a personal revenue out of it. So, yes, the influence buying doesn't seem to have stopped. It's just some of what they're spending on to try to buy that influence is things as Trump properties rather than just campaign contributions.
Yeah. And I will admit, I've been skeptical about this. As you know, every time you come up with a new story, I ask you, why are you doing this? You know, he's a billionaire. He doesn't need the money. Except now we know that he may, in fact, need the money based on the latest analysis of his finances, which indicate, and again, there's no definitive proof that's been disclosed. We're just taking the Times' word for it. They have accurate information, but it's indicating that he apparently is deeply in debt.
And many of his properties are losing money. He has loans coming due in the next few years that it seems like it's going to be hard to pay. You know, one of the things the Trump Organization and Eric Trump, President's son, have always said in response to our stories is Donald Trump loses a fortune being president. And, you know, one of the things about covering the Trumps is you have to be aware that sometimes they tell the truth. And I think this may be a case where he is losing a fortune, not on purpose. You know, I don't think he went into this knowing he was going to lose a fortune, but that's been the outcome. But to me, that's not a reason to say that the financial conflicts of interest don't matter or that payments to Trump properties don't matter. To me, they matter more. If Trump was rolling in the money and you know, could afford to lose a little business here and there, then it wouldn't matter so much who paid him. But if he's desperate for cash and needs cash in all these properties, then it seems like the value of each individual client, each individual payment, is even greater than him.
Well, right. I mean, he's, you know, bottom line, he's in the hospitality industry, and the whole industry is suffering because of the pandemic. So of it having nothing to do with what he may have lost because of the controversy regarding the Trump name. It's probably a pretty safe bet that those properties are suffering. Okay, so to the other part now, to the president back holding rallies and talking about how he feels more invulnerable than ever. We were discussing the various scenarios back when he first tested positive, but it sounds like scenario number two is playing out. He's using this to say, "I got over the virus, so can you." And thanks to me, essentially, we've discovered a treatment that is very effective and basically, 7 days in the hospital and you're fine.
So that seems to be his argument, that he's gone back to basically denying that the coronavirus is a big deal, despite his own personal struggle with it. And you're right saying, well, you know, my recovery shows it's possible. I don't know if that's a great message, just because I feel like if you look at opinion polls, the rest of the country is still pretty worried about it and pretty aware that if they got sick, they would not get the treatment that Donald Trump did. Right. If I felt like if I got sick, I would get helicoptered to Walter Reed and I would get experimental drugs and, you know, round the clock care from the best doctors. I still wouldn't want COVID, but I'd feel more reassured if I got it. But that's, you know, that care is available to one person in this country, not to the rest of us.
Well, that's not what he said. But, okay, I'll take your word for it. I mean, he seemed to be very, very clear that other people should expect that level of care. Now, maybe his supporters don't take that seriously, but he seemed to genuinely want that. You don't think so?
I think he does want it, but that's what's maddening, I think, about doing this with 210,000 people already dead is like, wait, we have a treatment that works this well? Well, why hasn't everybody else been getting it? You know, if he's discovered that there's this cocktail that helps everybody get better so fast, you know, why doesn't everybody have it? Why didn't we get it before? And these are things that as the president, he has some influence over. And to just to say 210,000 deaths in, like, hey, we figured this out. You know, everybody's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. I think, you know, people aren't going to really believe that.
David Farenthold, live from The Washington Post. Thank you, David. Have a good week.
Thank you, too.
It is 8:24. Time for Cairo Radio Real-Time Traffic.